Are you ready for the word? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I dressed in my summer beach shirt tonight because I refuse to believe that it's wintertime yet. I'm in faith. I have my, what do you call them? Side shoes or whatever. My beach type shoes on, my beach shirt, no coat. And I decree it's 80 degrees next week in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't have my face out there too well, but I'm hoping for it. Amen. Turning your Bibles with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. I've alluded to this verse quite a bit lately, but we're going to read it tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And, you know, this is a verse I've known for many years. And I've understood that God wants us to build the church according to His plans, His method, more than ours. So if we want God to build the end time church, not just our local churches, but the end time church to manifest the glory of God, God needs to be the one that's designing the plans. In other words, we need to do it God's way. We need to put the church where God says to build it. The pastor needs to be somebody that God's called there. The people on the worship team need to be people that God's anointed for that. All the way through, it needs to be who God's assigned. And instead, in much of Christianity, we've tried to build the church with people-pleasing programs, you know, social agendas, trying to reach out and just comfort people versus carrying an anointing to change people, deliver people truly. And God has His own plans. He wants to build the church. But back earlier this year, I had the dream where I had a visitation of Jesus, and He was showing me the churches of the world. And he was telling me that the only people that are going to manifest His end time glory are those that learn to become masters of functioning in the kingdom of heaven. Those, if you want to be somebody that's going to carry the glory in the end time, you must transition out of living in the world and learn to be a master of functioning in the principles of the kingdom of heaven. And we'll talk about that more as we go. But regarding this verse, unless the Lord build the house, that gave that verse new meaning to me. Extra definition. In other words, unless the Lord build the house, not just we find out God's plans and His way to do it, where to build it and how to staff it, but also we become masters of functioning in the kingdom that God builds us up to be the ones He can build the house out of. Did you follow me on that? See, God's building is in time church out of people. And He's going to use building blocks He can actually mold and form to function in His kingdom. See, as long as you live, we've used this definition before, we're going to call this side of the pulpit the kingdom of the world, the world system. Over here is man's limitations, man's abilities. Over here is man's strength. Over here is the realm of science, witchcraft. We could go on and on. And over here is man doing everything himself. We find if we will come to the cross and recognize that the cross is not just a stopping point, but a portal or a gateway to another kingdom, we can come to the cross, get saved, and then go beyond the cross. Do you follow me? Not making light of the cross, but we were never meant to camp out there. And learn to live as new creations in this new system God's provided for us. And over here we can live in the anointing. Over here we no longer live by man's strength, man's abilities, man's cunning, man's charisma. Now we live by faith. Now we live by the power provided by the Word of God. Now we live by flowing with the Holy Spirit. And over here, God can make you a lively stone He can build His house out of. With that in mind, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, that would be deception, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, we're to consider ourselves once saved babies in Christ. Now, it could be that you're 70 years old when you get saved, 80 years old when you get saved. But as far as the kingdom of heaven's concerned, you're still a baby. Amen. You can have even been in church for 50 years. But because you don't understand how the kingdom functions, you're still a baby. And this is the only thing that can grow us out of baby state is the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God is the only thing that can grow us, period, to be who God wants us to be. There's nothing you can do of yourself out of your own ability to cause yourself to become, how can I say this, adept at living in God's kingdom without the Word. The Word trains us, strengthens us, prepares us, transforms us. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds by the Word of God. So the Word of God equips us to learn to grow up over here out of baby state and to be full-grown, fully functional adults in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious or the Lord is good. Have you tasted that God is good? Have you had a taste of the anointing? There are certain things I've had tastes of that once I had a taste of, I wanted it again. I mean, certain things, once you taste it, you think, that's a one-of-a-kind taste. I've got to have that again. Certain ice creams fit that bill, don't they? Frank's Donuts fit that bill for me. And you want more of it. Well, God wants us to taste of the Word of God and taste of the anointing, taste of the move of the Spirit to know this is what I'm to live in. It's funny. I shouldn't say funny. It's amazing that when we come together and we spend extended amounts of time in prayer, like Friday nights we pray all night, it doesn't take long. We're praying, we're targeting all night. And maybe we pray in the Spirit and we walk the wall for a while, but eventually we'll usually have a place where the anointing shifts and we go into this deep worship. And when we do, the presence of God comes in so strong, you know this is the only thing that's important in your life. When the presence of God comes on you at such a high level, you'll sit there and you can't hardly move. And you don't want to move for fear you might interfere with the anointing's flow. Fear may not be the right word, but some what it is, you're concerned, I don't want to in any way interrupt this flow of the life of God into me, this experience I'm having. And you realize everything else in life is vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It doesn't matter. All that matters is being in connection with the Creator God and everything flowing out of that connection. Amen? Well, that's God growing us up in the Spirit, growing us up in the kingdom to make us usable by Him. We heard the verse last week by Bobby Connor. We were watching a video, and it says in John chapter 15, verse 6, God says, without me, you can do nothing. Remember that? And he said, he looked up what that meant, where God says, you can do nothing. And he found the word nothing means a big fat zero surrounded by vacuum. In other words, there's nothing you can do of yourself without the Word of God, without the anointing, without the Spirit of God unctioning you to do anything of any value to God. That's why the Word becomes so important for us. Because it's the only thing that can equip us and motivate us and empower us to in any way please God. Any way produce anything for the kingdom. So when God says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build, what he's talking about, unless you are allowing the Spirit of God to move in your life, and you separate from man-pleasing programs or man-pleasing concerns, you separate from trying to build the church by your own effort and your fundraisers and everything else, and you let God just initiate all the change in your life, you're wasting your time. I'm telling you, in March of 2018, God showed me the churches of the world, and he showed me all the ones that are involved in man-initiated programs to build, you know, their church systems. He said they're wasting their time as far as manifesting the end time glory. And the only ones that will manifest the glory are the ones that live and flow and follow the leading of the Spirit and live by faith, function by faith. So he says, if you tasted that the Lord is gracious or the Lord is good, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. We're coming to Jesus as the living stone, who is rejected of men, but who God says, this is the approved one. Ye also as lively stones, say, I'm a lively stone. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build. Do you follow me? You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He says, you are being built up as lively stones into the house of God. This is the house is talking about in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord build the house, what house? The church. Unless the Lord build it, they're wasting their time, is just the easiest way to put it. And it says he's building it out of lively stones that are built up by the word of God. So therefore, there is no substitute for building God's church unless you use people that are full of the word. See, again, I'm not trying to attack any churches, attack anybody. I'm going by what the word says. But if we as pastors are trying just to build a congregation by, you know, taking people out of the city, and we say, hey, just know that God loves you, and we're not teaching them the depth of the word of God, how to live by faith and how to carry the anointing, we're putting, how can I say, cardboard stones into place. We might as well be building a gingerbread house. God's using stones full of the word. That's why when you really come to church, you're going to hear the word. I'm talking about a church that's moving ahead with the Spirit of God. You're going to hear the word, and it's going to challenge you to make change in your life. Remember what we've been reading out of Habakkuk? I will stand up on my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. God's wanting to shift us and change us. Because I tell you what, we can be hard-headed. And we need God by the power of the Spirit, along with the Word of God, to chisel us into place. It says here, it says in Proverbs, God says, or maybe it's Psalms, is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God's chiseling us into shape to use us in his building process. And what he's doing is the chiseling involves us getting rid of our own personal motivations, our own, you know, self-established goals, our own selfish concerns, our own improper motivations and attitudes. And he's changing us to be humble of heart, to enable the Spirit of God to move through us to carry high levels of the anointing. And that anointing is what makes us lively stones. Oh, glory to God. Now, I've got whole messages I've done in the past about God building the house out of lively stones and how, you know, lively stones, the problem is sometimes they have bad days and they'll tend to move positions and cause the foundation anyway. He's raising up a people that can stay in divine order, that can hear the Spirit of God. They become unoffendable, and they don't try to keep shifting around and disrupting the building process. But the point is lively stones, listen to me, are those that have made the transition to learn to live over in this realm, or they're in the process of making that transition. And the way, I hope you can see this, how I'm going to try to picture it right now. What God is doing is God's taking us over here from being worthless, cast aside, unusable stones, reforming us by the Word so we can carry the anointing and flow with the Spirit of God. And he's taking this whole group of stones he's forming right now, and all of a sudden he's going to bring them over here and just flow them into place to build his kingdom, to build his church. And we got most churches over here on this side trying to take stones and are not really prepared to be lively stones. Oh, can you sing? Can you play an instrument? Oh, what can you do? Oh, we'll use you here. And they might as well be building an earthly corporation. Is anybody following me tonight? They might as well just be building another earthly company or corporation or business, because they're treating it and building it by the same methods. God's saying, you don't understand unless the Lord build the house. It didn't even say unless man build the house the Lord's way. Do you follow me? It says unless the Lord build the house. God's the one putting everything in place and equipping us to carry this glory. And the ones that are going in are the ones that learn to make the transition from living in the world system to living in the kingdom of God system. And that's what we should be yearning for. Now, I know what I'm teaching tonight was probably going clear over the heads of most people out there that might hear this. We're like, what is he talking about? I'm talking about it's possible to live abiding in Christ. Abiding in the Word. And the key is, here's the key. You learn to let go of your self-protective safety measures. You learn to quit trusting in your money, trusting in your connections, trusting in your own abilities. And you say, God, I'm trusting in your Word. And you trust it for your health, your finances, your safety, your family salvations, everything else. And you learn to totally live dependent upon the Word of God. Those are the ones God can use. That's how He's building the house. At least if I'm hearing God and what I've been getting the last few years, that's how He's building the house of God in the end times. And that which doesn't flow with that will be rejected. Look at verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Now, Zion always represents the church. Amen. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Who is the chief cornerstone? Jesus. Elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Shall not be confounded, confused. I could even put in there rejected. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Now, who's the chief cornerstone? Now, understand, when you lay a cornerstone for a building, that cornerstone establishes the location for the building. Right? It also determines the orientation of the building, because it's going to determine the direction of the walls, the location, the elevation. Many things are dependent upon that cornerstone. Amen. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And I want to present to you tonight, I believe, that for God to use us in the building process, I'm talking about to build the glorious church, not the frozen, chosen, edifices, the glorious church. You've got to align your life like Jesus. Now, when I say that, many would say, yes, we need to be, to target living above sin. We need to target, to appeal to the people, to go out and minister to the people and maybe even heal some people. That's all great. I believe we're to be like Jesus. But here's really, if you want to be like Jesus, there's a deeper level of it. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. Also, he said, I am the Word. The Word declares it. Declares he is the Word made flesh. See, the only way you're going to become like Jesus where he was the Word made flesh, you must become flesh made Word. The only way you really can be used in the building process is to accept the challenge and set for yourself the goal of becoming somebody totally dependent upon the Word. Because he was. See, it's one thing to target living above sin, but it's another thing to say, I'm going to live my life dependent upon the Word, because Jesus is the Word. If you're going to connect to the Jesus who's the Word, who's the chief cornerstone, you got to be also dependent upon the Word yourself. And don't ask me to say that again. I'm in a vein right now that I don't know what's coming out next, so y'all bear with me. But we've got to be those that align our life to totally stand on the rock, which is the Word. See, so many people say, well, I'm just standing on the rock. Well, you are for your salvation, but not for your walk, in most people's case. I'm standing on the rock. What they mean is, I believe when I die, I'll go to heaven. But at the same time, they're saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I could die any day. Never know when God's going to call you up. If you're declaring stuff like that, if you're declaring you don't know when your number's up, or God took all your money or your child or whatever to keep you humble or to teach you a lesson, if you're declaring stuff like that, you may be standing on the rock for salvation, but you're not standing on the rock to build your life and use you as a lively stone. The only way you do this is if you line your life up with the Word and you live Word. And we've been talking about how Psalm 119 is a psalm that is all about somebody who's learning to depend upon the Word of God as their source. They've turned their life over to total dependency upon the Word of God. And it's interesting to me, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, all about living on the Word, is the longest chapter in all of the Scriptures. Amen. And that is our assignment to do this. So I want to go back to Psalm 119. And I want to read you this. I didn't finish this passage, did I? Oh, back up. Chapter 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. It didn't say he that believeth in him. It said on him. The devil believes in Jesus, but didn't believe on him. And it's not just believing on him for salvation. To believe on Jesus means you believe the Word. And you believe every promise of the Word. It becomes your everything in life. Right? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is the same as become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a stone of offense. Now I go over to Psalm 119. I really feel like this is a vein. We could almost stay on this topic until Jesus comes. Living in the kingdom of heaven. Making that shift, that transition. But I know this, as we get a bunch of people that are determined to make the transition, God's going to make the messages even deeper. But how to live in that kingdom. How to just flow with the Spirit of God. But first you got to realize there's a transition possible. I mean, there are things in my life that I discovered once I found out that it was possible, it changed my whole perspective of things. Trying to think of some examples now. One would be when I found out there was cruise control for cars, I refuse to have one without it now. I don't want a motorcycle without cruise control anymore. Unless it's a little bitty one I'm going to jump hills with. Cruise control changed my life. Amen. I got to get off of that. Psalm 119, are you there? I want to go to verse number 137. Hang on, I want to see if... I'm trying to decide if I want to go back and cover some of the others we skipped. No, let's go to 137. I think I want to start there. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Now, what he's starting out saying here in this section is, God, you're righteous. Your judgments are righteous. Anything you say is truth. You can't lie. If you decree it, it's got to be the right thing. Anybody have a problem with that? It's amazing to me how many people will say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Do you believe that? Do you now? It's one thing to say you believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's another thing to believe what you read is God's will. I mean, we can start talking about the tongues thing. Patty and I started watching a movie last night about some kid with superpowers, and there were some churches trying to capture him, and they were attributing these powers to speaking in tongues, which was totally twisted. But they were making tongues sound like something really strange. My goodness. If you're a Christian very long and you haven't sought after praying in the Spirit of God and speaking in tongues, don't tell me you believe the Bible's the Word of God. Because the Word of God says we're to pray in other tongues. Amen. How about this? Well, I don't believe all that healing stuff. My goodness, the Bible is packed full of they all got healed. It's God's will for you to be healed. You can be supernaturally healed. You don't believe that? Then don't tell me you believe the Bible. Amen. You apparently believe God authored the Bible way back and men messed it up since then. I believe every jot and tittle is true today. How about this one? I believe God's power to heal. I believe God wants to say, I believe in tongues, but I don't believe that prosperity stuff. There are more verses in Scripture about prosperity than there are healing and tongues put together. It's all through the Scripture. God wants you blessed. Amen. See, if you really believe the Word of God, you believe all of it as far as what God has decreed we're to be able to have. And a person that's transitioning to living in the kingdom makes a decision, I'm going to believe every promise of God above what the natural realm tries to tell me. If God says it, it's got power over the natural. So he's saying, righteous are thy judgments. Verse number 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Now he's saying, your word is faithful. What you decreed, it's unchangeable. It produces. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Let me read that with a better translation in there. Thy testimonies have gotten me cut off. I'm sorry, let me. My zeal has gotten me cut off because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Where it says consumed, a better translation is have cut off. What he's saying is people have cut me off because of my zeal. Because they've forgotten thy word and I'm holding to it. They can't go where I'm going. They won't understand what I'm doing. They can't believe what I'm believing. And they're going to think I'm a nut. You understand, once you start believing the word, the world's going to think you're a fool. Don't try to reconcile that. Just live it. What's the word? Just accept it. They want to think you a fool. I'd rather be thought a fool with the power of God on me and the life of God in me than thought wise by a dying generation. And I'm telling you, There is no escape if you're making the transition from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. You've got to go through, they think you're a nut state. Again, they saw you come in here. It's too late to change their opinion. They ought to know you've lost it. But what you lose for Christ, you gain for eternity. Anything you lose, right? He that sown, father, mother, brother, sister, wives, houses, lands, for my sake and the gospel, shall receive 100-fold. Now in this lifetime, houses, lands, brother, sister, mothers, fathers, doesn't say wives, in this world and in the world to come, 100-fold. God says what you give up because people think you're nuts. You have to sow to make the transition. You will see it come back in 100-fold return. Just let go of that respectability and move on. Amen? Because once you get anointed, the respectability is returned with interest. Amen. At least by those who really count. So 139 again. My zeal hath caused people to cut me off because they've forgotten your word. That's what it's saying. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. When you read the word, when you study the word, carry the recognition, this is purity. This is God's word refined in the furnace 7 times. This is the purest substance. This is Jesus, who is purity in print form. And because it's Him in print form, it's pure, and you can bank your life on it. Amen. Understand, those that align their life as a lively stone with Jesus believe the word it says. They believe on Him. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. In other words, even though people think I'm crazy, even though I feel rejected, even though maybe my healing or my prosperity hasn't manifested, even though I feel like I'm all alone at times, I am not going to let go of your word. Here's what the person making a transition does. As they're transitioning from living in here or to living over here, despite the level of bombardment you received, whether it's actual attacks or whether the devil's just bombarding your mind, you hold on to the word. I mean, you grab it. I'm losing my place, so I'll use this because I have all kinds of Bibles in here. You grab it. I'm holding to what you said, God. You said I would be healed. I was healed. You said I was prosperous. You said my family would serve God. You said I would not be rejected. You see, I said I could dwell with you. You said I'm holding to you. And there may be times that, you know, weeping may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy comes because you held on to the word. And we've replaced faith and holding to the word with just trying to be a comforting, understanding, empathetic Christian mindset. Oh, you're going through it? Let me feel bad for you. I'll feel bad with you. We can feel bad together. I understand your pain. Somehow, just by carrying that attitude for long enough, it'll start to alleviate. There's a place where you reject all that psychiatric gobbledygook and say, I'm holding to the word and the word will deliver me. The word will redeem me. It will vindicate me, the word. And watch what God does. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law, thy word is the truth. God, you're righteous forever. You're not going to change. You're not going to shift. You're not going to let me down. You're not going to become a liar. You're not going to become a disappointer. You're forever. And your law is a true expression of who you are. and is a true expression of what you provided for me. Your word. I don't know what you guys have done with challenges in the past, but for nearly 30 years, I have depended upon the word of God for my healing. There's been more than one time. There's times I felt like I was going to die, and the devil said, if you can get to the hospital now, you're going to die. And I say, no, God promised me he would restore my life in his word. He was my healer. He was my redeemer, my restorer, my strength. And I'd hold to the word. And maybe all I could do is crawl up in a ball and just pray in tongues or confess the word. And I would do it until I got relief. Because I wanted to make the transition to depending upon the word versus depending upon the world system and its limitations. There's a reason they call it practicing medicine. And the more horror stories I hear now about people and their medications, the more I want to depend on the word. Well, they gave me this, but it causes side effects. So I had to take this, and then that caused me to almost die. So they gave me this, and then they found out the first thing I was given was the wrong thing. So they changed it to this. Next thing, I'm 47 medicines. And they got more chemicals in their veins than they do blood cells. I just want to go to the word. How much more simple could it be? See, it seems easy to run to the pill cabinet, but it's a trap. I'm not attacking doctors. I'm not attacking taking medicines. If you need medicines, take your medicines. Do you follow me? Not attacking. I'm just saying there's a place where the word can do all that the medicines do and even more. Because the word has no side effects. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Now see, here's an amazing thing. You can have World War III going on in your soul and your mind. It feel like every devil in hell slapping you upside the head. You know, they're doing the Nutcracker ballet dance. Devils are doing on top of your head, big ballet dance. Do 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 pow pow pow. You can have that going on, yet in heart be clinging to the word and say, it doesn't matter what's going on in my head, I refuse to move off of this word. I refuse to shift off of what God said. I refuse to do it any other way than what the word declares. We hold to the word of God. What are you doing? Making the transition. Because God wants to shift us out of dependencies here to dependencies over here. I've heard many stories of what are the hardest things to get free of. You know, of an addiction. You know, we've been dealing with a family member of Patty's that is addicted to alcohol. Has been for probably 45 years. He starts drinking in the morning, and every night he's drunk. He's calling Patty a lot of the times, just drunk, asking for me because he likes me because I ride a Harley and I preach. So I'll lead him to Jesus every few days, you know, if he calls. And he can't get free of it. Let me restate that. He won't take the right steps to get free of it. He can get free. He just doesn't know he can get free enough to take the steps. So I've heard alcohol is one of the hardest to kick. Then I've heard all cigarettes are the hardest one to kick. Nicotine, once it's got you, it's got you for life. Well, then it used to be heroin. Heroin's the hardest to kick. Well, now we have meth, and I'm not convinced crack's not the hardest. Because it rewires your brain to think you're going to die if you don't have it. Even if you don't feel bad, your brain thinks you got to have it or you'll die. And I've not watched anybody do as stupid as stuff and steal as much and lie as much as they do on crack. William Muffles was here one night and he said, people come up to him that were ex-crack addicts, or they say they're ex-crack addicts, and say, I'm free. I'm not doing crack anymore. It's the only reason you're not doing crack, you don't have any money. If you had money, you'd be doing it because it rewires the brain. Can people get set free? Absolutely. But I hear stories of what's the hardest to get free of. Here's one. How about sugar? Sugar can be a tough one to kick. Amen? Because, I mean, who wants to kick pecan pie? I mean, my goodness. I can understand, you know, I need to get rid of these cigarettes, but pecan pie, who wants to get free? So all these things tend to hold people into bondage. But you want to know what holds people into bondage more than anything else? From the things of God? Self-reliance. Self-dependency. I can do it. I can do it if I put my mind to it, Dale Carnegie taught. You know, I've got to have my money, my wisdom, my scheming, my friends. All this desire to learn how to function over here. You've done it all of your life. You learn how to function over here and survive over here. And then God says, I need you to dump all of that. Just dump it out. It's vain. It's worthless. It's not going to produce. And learn to step out on the Word and make the shift. Now I'm going to trust in the Word of God. There's the hardest thing in the world to kick. Unless you taste that the Lord is good. And that taste can cause you to be motivated to learn to shift and live over here. But how many Christians worldwide, even that speak in tongues, know some about faith? Use faith as just an extra tool in their pouch versus they live by it. And the generation that manifests the glory will be the just that live by their faith. We become totally reliant upon the Word of God. So again, verse 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Oh, I'm not letting go of the Word. I've done this for years, probably failed a time or two in some instances, but I've done it for years. My health is being challenged, I'm holding to the Word. My finances are being challenged, I'm sowing a seed. Amen. Somebody's attacking me, I'm gonna bless them. Whatever it might be. Keep your mind in bounds no matter what's arising. The righteousness of the testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Now again, we've taught on this at length in the past. Probably been a while before we did it in depth. But there are three main words that sometimes we exchange for each other that really mean different things. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is the possession of facts. You know, if we were to use, I use Wayne a lot with the motorcycles. But let's use Pastor Nancy and her job, as if I really understood it. But she works with a lot of spreadsheets. And somebody may have knowledge of Excel. You use Excel, right? Excel gives you all this power of spreadsheets and databases, exchanging information, tracking stuff, calculations. You can do all this on Excel. And you have knowledge of it. Maybe you know all the formulas that Excel has available. All the macro language, everything Excel can do, you know it all. But you know, unless you understand how to apply that, it won't produce anything for you. So one of the things she's done, or some of the things she's done, is she's learned to take Excel and develop specific applications for it in her job to save the company a lot of money. To use the power of that knowledge with understanding to apply it. So understanding is the assemblage of knowledge, the ability to sort and connect knowledge pieces together to produce a result. Do you follow me? It's one thing to know you make a cake with certain ingredients. Another thing to know how to put those together in the right fashion. We have understanding how to make the cake. And wisdom is really knowing what to do at any point in time. Wisdom is knowing when to apply knowledge and understanding. And really for us, wisdom is really the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's knowing what God would have us do at any point in time or where we have to apply the knowledge He gives us. And He says, give me understanding and I shall live. Is that what He said? Give me understanding. In other words, God, it's not enough to know what the Word says. I need understanding of how all this folds together, fits together, that I can use it to access what You made available for me. That's where learning to live in the kingdom comes into play. It's not enough to know just that there's kingdom principles. It's having understanding of how to apply them in your life. You know, we do the teachings in here of how to live by faith. It's one thing to know you're to live by faith. Another thing to know how to do it. One is knowledge, one's understanding. Amen. And then what to do at any point in time would be the wisdom. And we need all three to function in this kingdom over here. Verse 145. I'll try to get to this next session quickly. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. How much did he cry with? You cannot make the transition to living in the kingdom of heaven unless you're all in. You can't do it. And all it means you're totally reliant upon God and His Word. You're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit directing your life. And you'll quit trying to make it happen yourself. And this can be a challenging shift to make. Maybe more hard than kicking cigarettes. Amen. I personally believe there's not any of these you can't kick if you'll truly call upon God all the way. Amen. And access the anointing to get set free. The night I got saved, I knew I had a drinking problem. I knew I had, I wouldn't call it a drug problem, but I liked doing them. And there was those other problems that could tamper with my marriage. Or maybe my eyes would want to wander. And the night I got saved was right after we were married, just a few months. And I said, God, if I'm really going to do this, I'm going to believe Your Word. I'm going to give You my life, but I'm not playing games with it. I'm going all in. I'm going to do this right or not doing it. And if I'm going to do it, I know I shouldn't be drinking, doing drugs, or have these other attitudes. And I just said, God, I need help. And that night, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel a ship, didn't feel an anointing. Nobody prayed for me. But that night, all of a sudden, I didn't want to drink anymore. Never drank again. Two beers with my granddad and one with my stepbrother when my stepfather died. Three beers. Pretty much since I got saved, and that was all 35 years ago. Instantly, have never done a drug since. No drugs, no desire. Bye-bye acid, bye-bye pot, bye-bye everything. Didn't want it. And all of a sudden, every bit of desire I ever had for anybody was all put on my wife, and it's never left. The thought of being unfaithful to me became totally an abomination. That night, because I had all this time in the Word, it was a miracle of God. I've had people that get mad because, well, my transition wasn't that easy. Well, I don't know what allowed, initiated that move from God, but I just know it's available. He'll make you a new creation and set you free from things of the past. But I'm telling you, you need to be all in. Don't play around with those old things. Verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me, and I will keep thy testimonies. This is an all-in attitude. God, you deliver me, you save me, I'll do things your way. I prevented, look at this, look at verse 147. Here's an all-in attitude. Have you ever done this? Is this your all-in mindset? I prevented the dawning of the morning. In other words, I stayed up all night and cried, I hoped in thy word. I've done this more than once where I'm in a challenge. I'll pray all night. God, I'm standing on your word. I'm not moving. I'm not shifting until you bring forth this result. Amen. And if it didn't happen by morning, pray the next day as well. That time my back blew out so bad, 3 days and three nights on the couch. Well, I think it was 3 days and two nights. Putting tapes in about healing. Same 12 tape healing set by Pastor Callan. Play another one. Listen, an hour and a half each pretty much. And every time a tape would end, I'd get up and stomp around the room. I'm healed. Feel like I was going to die. But I didn't move off that couch till I got what the word said. And for 3 days, the devil said, you're going to paralyze yourself. You're going to die. They'll have to put rods in your back, everything, if you don't get to the doctor right away. I said, no, I'm trusting in the word, not moving. And after 3 days, I put in another tape. When it finished, I began to stomp around again. I was getting ready to stomp around again. God, when I stood up, God says, now jump, which was the last thing I wanted to do. I felt like every disc in my back was ruptured. Like two or three discs were shot. And God says, now jump. And when I jumped, I didn't do this. I jumped as high as I could, and I came down on my heels as hard, flat-footed as I could. Because I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to do it all the way. I can hit as hard as I could. And when I did, I had a brand new back. That's been over 20 years ago. Oh, glory be to God. They've been moving stuff again. About move number 40 for my daughters, amen. Picking up beds and mattresses and dressers and everything else. Not to mention treadmills and praise God. So look at verse 148 now. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. In other words, I stay up all day and pray that I might meditate in thy word. I'm sold out to your word. Listen, if we can't set aside time to study and meditate the word of God, we're not all in. And it doesn't take 8 hours a day. It doesn't take you to do it full time. If you're called to ministry, you may have that assignment. Do you follow me? But it is talking about you need that word in you. You can't stand on a word that's not real to you, so you need to meditate it. And you get the confession cards. We make it easy for you. Just get the confession cards. Read those promises. Meditate them. Think about it. Let them roll over again in your mind. And all of a sudden, faith arises in what God said. I just can't believe all that. Then you won't have it. You got to believe that meditating the word produces faith. That faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I don't believe all that. It's in your Bible. You said you believe the Bible. Am I coming on too strong tonight? We've got to be willing to sell out. They say the number one reason is that companies fail. You know, what is it? 80 to 90% of all companies fail their first year that are started. And the number one reason is because the people that start them aren't all in. I don't know if I agree with that. I think a lot of them just have stupid ideas. But they fail because the people aren't sold out to their business. Well, you're not going to succeed transitioning over here unless you're sold out. Is Jesus your Lord or just your part-time boss? Why is it every time I come here I want to teach and love and you guys can just refer to me as Cuddles and Mr. Softy and all of a sudden I start coming out like I just want people to know this is possible. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me, make me alive according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. In other words, he's saying the ones that are wicked are far from the word. So those that actually walk in what would be the word righteousness are close to the word. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Consider thy testimonies. I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And Jesus was that Word made flesh. So the Word is eternal. If we want to hold the things of the world, worldly abilities, worldly dependencies, we're depending on something that's not eternal. But by faith, we can shift over and rely upon that which lasts forever. God's raising up a generation that truly trusts the Word. I've taught this at different gatherings. I've taught this to pastors. That God's looking to raise up churches that quit trying to build by man's programs. By just the recognized normal church building systems. Those are vanity. And just find out what God says to do and make the transition of trusting in His Word and watch what God does. Well, your church isn't that big. You can't see on the inside of us. Amen? There are giants of faith in this church. We started off tonight in praise and worship, and the healing anointing dropped in, and there were miracles taking place at the beginning of service. I'm convinced of it. People getting set free of pain, challenges. What's that? God building the house? His way. Well, look, we're out of time for tonight. And I believe this is where God's got the church right now. Not only this church, it's Church Universal. To shift them from man-building efforts to God-building efforts. What a powerful God we serve. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you in this church. There are none sick, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife, none in unforgiveness, none holding to their own abilities to sustain them, but each one making a transition to trust in your word. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.